This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, a Joy 94.9 podcast. This podcast was made possible with support from the Community Broadcasting Foundation. To support the production of content like this, donate at cbf.com.au.
Charity Vincent Care has this week reopened Ozenham House. The so-called supercentre is designed as a one-stop shop for people in need. The new iteration of Ozenham House has also received the Rainbow Tick. The Rainbow Tick is a national accreditation program for organizations that are committed to safe and inclusive practice and service delivery for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and intersex people. Organizations wishing to receive a Rainbow Tick are required to undergo accreditation. The Informer spoke to Jack Tomlins, the Vincent Care Gender and Sexuality Project Coordinator, about the facility's reopening.
So the new Ozenham House is a fantastic new development that was opened last week, and it provides crisis accommodation and medium-term and long-term accommodation for people who are homeless. It's based in North Melbourne. I think the radical thing about Oz House is that it provides a whole range of services. It has a resource centre on the first level that's available to anybody coming in, and we expect there might be up to 250 people a day using that resource centre. And it's a really innovative, new, cutting-edge approach to working with people who are homeless.
So does Ozenham House seek to do things differently than traditional homeless shelters?
Yes, yeah, it's very different. I think people have got a bit of an idea of what traditionally homelessness shelters, they used to call them, were like. Very kind of almost like a dormitory and then a place where people could get food. What the new facility provides is case management for people, so staff who will work with an individual on a whole range of things. So not just their homelessness, but there might be issues around drug and alcohol, around financial counselling or mental health issues. And within the new facility, there's, for example, a computer room. There's a dental service and a health service. It looks to me a bit like, it reminds me of a kind of a small university campus, student union area. And each of the units where people are housed are individual rooms. So there's no longer kind of the communal spaces where you might have half a dozen or more people in one space. Each person who comes into the centre who is housed in either one of the crisis or medium to long-term accommodation have their own room. And I was at the launch last week and had a look, and yeah, it reminded me of when I first started university and had that college room, which is just so basic but has everything in it. In addition, though, these rooms have bathrooms in the rooms themselves.
Have you seen any differences so far in how it affects the people using these facilities?
Look, not yet, to be absolutely honest. We're in the process of moving people into the centre. So people who were housed in the previous Ozenham House, which was knocked down and a temporary facility they were moved into, so those people will start to be moved into the centre in the next couple of weeks. So it's really at the very beginning of this process, but we know that certainly there were lots of clients at the launch who were really excited about getting into it and using the services.
So is Ozenham House attempting to, you know, innovate in a way that we might see expanded to other homeless services and facilities in the future?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a completely cutting-edge new approach, and that was picked up by the minister who helped launch the new facility last week. And the idea is that we get away from that awful stigma associated with homelessness in the past. And what we're hoping to build here is an atmosphere of trust and respect and of non-judgment. And so people can come into the facility. It's like a drop-in centre. They can use whatever resources and facilities that they want. They can. There'll be staff members on hand to help them out. And so it's really quite a different approach, and it's trying to step away from that, you know, charities helping the poor people. So it's a real shift in how we work collaboratively with people who are experiencing homelessness.
So can you tell me what some of the stigmas are that homeless people face?
Look, I think people put people who are experiencing homelessness in a very small category. You know, they see them as people who might have a drug issues or alcohol problems, who are, you know, I don't know, lazy, don't want to work, willing to just take handouts or whatever it is. You know, there's a whole raft of misconceptions about people. You know, what we know, for example, is that the biggest increase in homelessness at the moment is around, you know, middle-aged women and older women in 55 plus, and also, you know, young people and LGBTIQ people who are experiencing family violence or who are being forced out of home. So there's a whole raft of people who really don't fit that very narrow that people have, I think, of what it means to be homeless.
That's interesting. So can you tell me why there's this increase in homelessness amongst middle-aged and older women?
Well, the research is suggesting is that often it's, you know, women, middle-aged women who might separate from their husbands from divorce. So they've had their working lives. They might have been looking after children, or they might have been working part-time. So they don't have any superannuation or savings, and find themselves, you know, separated, maybe not having access to an income, and just a kind of a slippery slope of going downhill and finding themselves really in a situation where they can't actually afford to pay rent or being in a property and finding that that's no longer available to them. So there's a kind of a range of reasons. But as I say, that's quite a commonly seen now. We're getting more and more older women coming through the service.
Okay, so can you tell me how Ozenham House is making itself more open and inclusive to LGBTQIA plus people and women as well?
Vincentcare has just got Rainbow Tick accreditation. And what that means is that we have gone through, for the last 2 years, a fairly robust process of looking at the entire organisation and making sure that it is a culturally safe place, that it is a supportive and affirming place, not just for LGBTIQ clients, but also our staff. And so Rainbow Tick is a very high bar. And what happens is that you have external assessors come into the organisation, and you are literally marked against 6 specific standards that cover the entire organisation. So part of this was our Rainbow Tick journey, and we achieved that in January this year, and we had a big launch a couple of months later. So what we're looking at with Oz House is, again, something that's really quite radical, is that we want to make this a specifically safe space for LGBTI people and for women. So traditionally, Oz House was just for men, but now we are welcoming and supporting this new cohort. So it's things like we have what we're calling a safety floor. So the first floor, where there are 14 crisis accommodation units, will be made available to people who are particularly vulnerable. And that floor is very close to staff, and it means that people on there can be assured of their cultural safety. And, you know, and that's a really significant thing. So those that level will be prioritised for people who are particularly vulnerable. What we're also hoping to do is to have a particular space, like this is based on the idea of the old university, you know, women's room or queer room. So a designated area that's, again, in a safe place where people can go and sit and relax and read or do whatever they want to do, where there will be groups and events and any kind of activities around LGBTIQ or women can take place in that particular room. So it's a kind of a safe designated space. The other key thing is that we have we now have a designated key worker who is full-time, and her role is to look after the LGBTIQ clients that we get coming through. So that's a really kind of a really important position to make sure that all of that is coordinated and that people coming through know about those services, and she will be looking after them during the time that they are at Oz House.
I also read that you also have an on-site dentist.
It does, and I think that's a first, actually, a first specified homelessness dental service. Yeah, it's exactly that. These things people don't really think about, but if you're experiencing homelessness, then, you know, you're not going to have access to a dentist. So there will be, as part of a suite of services, a free dental service.
So are you attempting to provide things in addition to simply just food and shelter that people might not normally think about that people who are homeless need regardless?
You know, people who are homeless are trying to get back on their feet, and the staff that they are working with at Vincent Care are supporting them in that. So, for example, they can go in and use computers. So there's a room full of computers that they can go. There's free Wi-Fi. They can recharge a phone if they have one. There are laundry and drying facilities where they can go and do the washing. There is a complete full meal service. There's a barista service. So there's, as well as the kind of the counselling and the working with staff. So it is like, as I say, it's like a drop-in centre. To me, it feels like a little bit like the union when I was at college a long time ago.
That was Jack Tomlins of Vincent Care. The Informer also spoke to Damien Chandler. Damien was kicked out of home at just 16 because of his family's reluctance to accept his gay identity. He has more than 30 years of experience in homelessness services in Victoria and Queensland, and now volunteers with Vincent Care.
Well, my dad threw me out of home when I was 15. Actually, I took off because he made life unbearable for me. And I sort of just walked up the street with nowhere to go. So I ended up in youth refuges. I ended up just being taken in by people that I just met. But, so the youth refuges were my first sort of port of call. And then it just progressed from there, from just as I hit 18, then I went into all the men's refuges. Mm. So it just progressed.
So what about being a gay man was unique when you were accessing those kinds of services? Did it make it harder?
No, well, I'm 6 foot, so I think that was quite... I don't know whether I was just having confidence or being authentic or just walking into these services because this is what I need to do gave me a sense of power. Mm-hmm. But I never really... I can't really remember being hassled. I also fell into drag when I was... started doing drag when I was, like, 15, 16 as well. So mm-hmm. I was running around a makeup on and sort of... Look, quite trashy in those days, but, you know, that was sort of my identity in those days. So I was... That was also a big part of my life, and I really don't think that I got that much hassle for it. I mean, using the services, it was just a matter of me going in and getting a meal, and that was what we were all there to do, sort of thing, mm-hmm. or going in there for a bed. So everyone was sort of had the same. There was no real cliques. There was no real nastiness that stand out over the years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, right. Well, that's great, really. That's really good to know. I mean, I can imagine. you know, you running around 6 foot in drag as well, that would be that would have been quite a sight.
I mean, I remember little vivid things, like I was always dyeing my hair in the communal men's room and just doing it because I needed a mirror. I had to do that, so people may have given me funny looks, but you just do it.
Yeah, sure.
And,
yeah, absolutely. So I understand you're very supportive of Ozanam's House's inclusive approach. Why is that?
Well, it's the first organisation that I've really jumped into and volunteered with, and it's welcomed me with open arms from the beginning. It's provided me with some really good structure in the day just to keep me busy, and my passion has always been to help the homeless, and that's exactly what we do there. And as I've started there, they've gone for the Rainbow Tick accreditation, so all we've got policy and procedure around how to deal with LGBTIQ people. There's rainbow flags, there's trans flags, there's all the flags, you know, around. There's all welcoming signs, which is really encouraging as a first step. So as soon as you walk in, you know that you're welcome here. So it's just been a really lovely experience. I mean, even the clients are lovely. I mean, if you're serving them food, they're not going to give you drama. They're not going to, I mean, if you're nice to them, if you're nice, pretty much, some of them are sure, some of them come in and they just do not want to talk. They're in a mood, and that's fine, you know, but you just go in there and do your best. And it's just been a really rewarding experience for me.
That sounds quite incredible. What difference does it make when you engage with people in that kind of friendlier environment or that more supportive environment? What kind of impact do you see it happening on clients?
Well, on a personal level, I mean, even though it's no different, it kind of does make my heart sing when there are LGBTIQ people in there, when there are colourful people in there, when there are people in there who are just people who are fabulous. It is great to see. And it sort of gives me, because I'm 40, nearly 45 now, so I've sort of been around for about 30 years, and just seeing, say, two girls hold hands walking in, or two guys holding hands, I mean, that's so different from when I was a kid, and it's just, it doesn't bring a tear to my eye, but it's just beautiful. It's lovely being able to see people just be themselves, and this is who we are, and this is what we're doing. Mm. So it's really rewarding. We need more LGBTI volunteers in there, so anyone wanting to come and help the needy, anyone that want to come and help people who are having a bit of a rough trot, it's a great place to volunteer. So I'll just sort of say, ring up, ask to speak to the volunteer coordinator and get the ball rolling.
That was Damien Chandler speaking to Toby Halligan. If you'd like to volunteer it with Vincent Care, you can contact them on 03 9611 9200.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.